You're listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of March 26, 2014, the first virtual reality podcast on the internet. Get your goggles.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Abor.
My name is Scott Juster.
And we're the co-creators of a virtual reality podcast.
Yeah. Screw real reality.
Well, close your eyes for a second, listeners.
Okay.
Imagine you're in a room.
Our listeners always close their eyes.
You're in a room with Scott and I.
Uh-huh.
All of our trophies just adorn the walls. Mm-hmm. We've got...
Chivos are real.
Those Chivos, we've collected them into one room.
Yeah.
It's a gallery.
Yeah.
I'm pretty bad at VR, but...
A rogue's gallery of Chivos.
Thankfully, I don't have to be good at VR, because now there are others out there in the mainstream space making a go of it.
Yep.
So today on the podcast, we're talking about virtual reality. I just got back from GDC.
Yep.
There's a bunch of GDC stuff, but I think what is most interesting, and something we haven't talked about on the show much before, is virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing, everybody.
Yep.
It's coming. It's here. The biggest announcement from GDC regarding virtual reality is Sony revealing Project Morpheus,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, they went just full Wachowski
they
siblings
went full
here.
Matrix. Yeah.
That is just ridiculously stupid.
It's, you know, they were like, I mean, when they revealed it, were they like, get ready to take the red pill, you know?
Yeah, they must have. Yeah.
I mean, it's not even subtle, like,
no,
whatsoever.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So this is their foray into the virtual reality market. Oculus Rift, we all know, we're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
They're on their dev kit number 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this point, it's finally 1080p.
Yep.
And then Project Morpheus, similarly 1080p, of course, announced. I haven't seen it. I haven't put it on or played with it at all.
Yeah.
I actually did try the Oculus Rift at E3 last year.
Yeah. The initial, like... public prototype.
But I haven't tried the new one. But even though we haven't tried it, full steam ahead.
Yeah.
All of these things are coming out. We have no idea when they're going to be
mm-hmm.
totally available. But there's a lot of questions that I think virtual reality raises
mm-hmm.
in terms of how we expect it to take off, what we think about Sony's entry into the market,
mm-hmm.
all sorts of cool stuff, including things I think that we talked about a long time ago that things like Kinect may have changed. And
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering whether or not virtual reality is going to change those ideas as well. So we'll get to all of that.
Of Kinect.
Yeah, we'll get to all of that in the podcast.
Yeah.
But let's start off right now.
Yeah.
Scott, what do you think of virtual reality? Is this something that you're actually interested in? You want that? You're a Star Trek fan. You want the holodeck.
Oh, yeah, but see, I know the ramifications of this. Like,
what have we wrought?
Pretty soon, like, Dr. Moriarty is going to become not a hologram, but a real person. He's going to try to take over the ship. Like, I mean, like, this happens.
This marks the end of days.
Yeah. I mean, in Star Trek The Next Generation, there was an episode where they all had these little VR goggles on, and they were playing a game where you'd basically have to throw a ball into a hoop. But what it was actually doing is altering brain chemistry, and every time you were doing that, you were like giving away a little part of your brain and stuff.
Ooh, weird.
Yeah, like so. Yeah. I mean, like, I know the dark side of virtual reality.
Well, I was telling you before, speaking of dark sides, I still would love to see a prank where somebody puts the VR machine on somebody who's like sleeping heavily, and then they wake up and they're in, like, I don't know, Turok jungle or something, and there's like dinosaurs.
I wake up and I see a Kinect in my living room.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They're just in their bedroom. Like, it's a really good rendition of their bedroom. And they're like, something seems off. Everything seems digital. And then go to, like, touch something and it's not there.
Yeah. I mean, I think... So I've never really used this stuff. And which means to me... For me, it's still kind of an abstraction.
Yeah.
In the same way that, you know... Like, what was... When we first heard about the Wii, it was like... I had a hard time conceiving of how it would actually feel to use, like, a motion control
thing. Yeah.
And so I'm kind of in that stage still. So I don't know. Like, I'm not sure. I definitely don't want to pay $300 for it.
Yeah. So right now the dev kit for the Oculus Rift, and it's a dev kit, right?
Yeah.
This is not a consumer model. It's, what, $350.
Yeah.
What would you pay for a VR
would you pay?
I mean, like I would say right now, if the Oculus Rift were, like, $200, I'd probably buy one. Just because there's all sorts of weird little indie games, and it's such a cool...
Yeah.
The idea of having that and the cutting edge is kind of exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I just... Especially with Sony's thing, I feel like the potential for scope and, like, peripheral creep is really high.
What do you mean? Like,
you need like a camera.
That's true.
And for on a PC,
the Move camera.
Yeah, you need like, you want to make sure that your PC can handle it in a frame rate and performance level that you want.
This works with two screens, so you are literally rendering double what you'd normally be rendering.
So and also with the Sony one, there's like some Move controllers that you can use to simulate your arms. Like, it's just, it's a whole, it feels a lot like when we were into Rock Band or DDR or something. Like,
but we bought Rock Band.
I know, but I feel like we may have gotten wiser since then.
Okay.
I don't know. It feels like it's a really huge investment. It's like one of the bigger novelty investments that I've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so again, for me, like, it's not that I think it's necessarily bad. I just have no clue what this is going
to
be like.
I mean, so this is to go on the ground floor of this new piece of technology. Yeah. But I mean, imagine a year or 2 years from now.
Yeah.
What do you think would be your price point for a consumer model that you would say, yeah, I'm going to go pick up that VR? I mean, would you wait until like a really good game came out for it?
I think that's probably what I would have to do once Valve figured out what they wanted to do with it. And also, like, Valve, it has its own thing internally that they're not really talking about. Different from the Cast AR, the people that were kind of fired from Valve or asked to leave or something, which
probably because they were messing with science that they should never have been messing with,
like the arcane tomes that they had opened up. Like, so I mean, Valve has a thing. Cast AR is out there, which is augmented reality projected onto our reality rather than enmeshing you in a screen, mm-hmm. you know, completely covering your eyes. So I mean, there's just so many out there, but other than like tech demos and I guess patches, basically. Like, you can play TF2 on an Oculus, but it's not native.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why, actually, the Sony thing is exciting to me, because they are... It's specifically... Supposedly, hopefully, it is specifically for video games.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised... I mean, gosh, that's a whole nother question. Imagining different forms of, like, other media entertainment that aren't video games.
Well, they had that one demo at GDC that I read about where you were... sitting on the same couch and you were playing a fighting game.
Oh yeah.
And the characters could actually, you were controlling the characters, but the characters could jump around the virtual room.
Yes.
And so you'd have to look around.
But there's like a fake version of you on the couch.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, at what point are we going to get like the virtual reality version of you puts on another VR? Like, I want to get Inception on here and go like six layers deep.
I mean, that's already like a tried and true like video game design aesthetic. Like, how many times in a video game do you go up to a screen and start looking at something?
Yeah,
like,
we've
already
true.
Like done something like that. So it's just that I feel like there's been so many cool proofs of concept, and we're getting to the point where maybe there can actually be a real game from the ground up.
Yeah,
you know. And like, again, like I know I tend to be fairly in favor of most of what Sony does, mm-hmm. and I feel like this is just another version of, I'm actually like, seeing Sony get into this is somewhat, makes me somewhat more excited for this.
I could see that. My question, and somebody raised this at GDC as well, was why didn't Sony just support Oculus Rift?
Yeah.
Like, what if they were using the money that was going towards developing this hardware instead to entice high-level developers to creating things for virtual reality? If they had supported and made some sort of deal with Oculus, that would be huge. That'd be huge for the Rift. Right now, it's probably terrifying to be on that Oculus team.
Yeah.
Because they know that Sony can run at a loss easier than they can.
Yeah.
That the production scale is something that Sony has, you know, managed for many, many years.
If you see, like, this is the same company that put out the PlayStation Move. They're willing to burn money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly right. Right? Yeah. Like, not only that they're going to burn money, because they probably won't. Sony's not doing that well.
Yeah.
But they do have the capacity to pump out enough of these quickly, you know, and not have to worry too much about, like, the cost of production, because they are and have been in the hardware space for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's true, which is why... I don't know. It's, again, like, Sony has a kind of checkered track record, but whatever you say about them, they kind of force developers to use their gimmicks.
Sure, but to what success? Like, how many games can you name with successful. The Move?
No, there's a bunch of games with the Move.
And are
there's
any games of them good?
There's games with Move support, too.
That's true,
like, you know, they re-released Heavy Rain with Move support. Like, you know, all of the... all of the first generation and actually onward, like those earliest PS3 games, they like forced people to use the six axis.
So this is good because now you're just going to be forcing another regime of virtual reality.
That's the thing. Like when you have something like Sony, who are like, "Yeah, you want to publish? Okay, cool. It has to somehow use this peripheral." At least you know that there will be people that must use it. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like it doesn't necessarily mean there are going to be great games, but there are at least going to be experiences that aren't just, hey, we tacked this on, so now Team Fortress 2 runs it.
Yeah, that's true. You know? And I think there's enough sort of indie support from Sony on their platform that I could see them going, oh yeah, we're going to incentivize all these indie developers to not only create these games, but release them and publish them that are already created onto PS4.
Well, like imagine they just swing by the offices of that game company and we're like, guess what, guys? We got this new thing. You're also going to have to use it. And they're like, well, okay. Like,
look what we have to do now. I mean, what's so weird to me now is like, in a few years, this is going to be the norm. Like, this is, we're going to just have these.
Maybe.
This is a thing.
That's what we said about motion control, though.
That's kind of true.
The other thing is, I again, this is probably not a hugely popular opinion, but I feel like much of the hardware side of innovation comes from the console space.
Mm-hmm.
Controllers, analog support, like standardized force feedback, motion control. Like all of that is because there is a standard platform. And then now half the PC games I play use a 360 gamepad.
Yep.
So like, I feel like having console buy-in for a VR thing will actually kind of help the Oculus because that will be a norm basically.
Yeah.
You know, we will assume it's a norm that people want to play a game with a controller, and so all PC games are basically controller compatible now.
Yeah.
So now it's like, it's a norm that people want to play video games with a VR headset, so now, like, a lot of games will have Oculus support.
Yeah.
You know?
Gosh, that'd be crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll see, because, like, obviously it didn't work out all that great for motion control.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, there's something, you know, motion control, one of the reasons we've been sour on motion control is it just does it poorly.
Yeah.
Like there's just a lot of people that it doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
I've tried the Oculus Rift. I know that it works.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, the concept of, oh, now there are two TV screens, it's not exactly groundbreaking. Mm. It's just you've got a TV in your face.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's not.
Yeah.
So I don't imagine it having as much trouble to get off the ground as, say, motion control.
Mm.
Likewise, I think it's slightly easier to imagine ways that we can integrate VR versus integrating motion control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we imagine scenarios where, you know, what if you're playing Call of Duty or something, and all the motion control does is see when you're leaning,
mm-hmm.
so that you can lean left or right and sort of have the character
adjust
their field of view.
I mean, that's kind of like a HOTAS setup for flight sims. Like,
right,
people have been doing that.
It's a very simple way to integrate it, and I think it's a natural feeling, right?
Yep.
It's the same way some people talked positively of the way that the Kinect voice sensor worked for Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could, you know, say reload or talk to your teammates or something like that, where it's a minor integration. Now, the Rift and Morpheus are gigantic headpiece things, so maybe it's a little hard to do it subtly.
Yeah.
But I can imagine a game where you play normally and then there's a sort of a VR section, mm-hmm. you know, where you put it on now and now you're in a second layer.
You're like Sam Fisher, you put on your...
Yeah! I mean, it'd be really kind of like, there's some weird dissonance there where you go from like a third person to the action game into like virtual reality.
Yeah.
But, you know, imagine Double Fine having fun with this.
Oh, yeah.
They could do something really cool where you go from an animated 2D universe where it makes sense that it's single layer into a 3D realm.
Imagine what Phil Fish would do.
You shut up.
I mean, sure, the Double Fine thing, never would I so happily vomit. Like, I would love that. But the cool other thing that I heard about the potential for this, maybe the Oculus can do this too, but they were saying the Sony thing is like one player could be using the headset and the other player is using the screen on the TV. Of like, you know, one person is like the on the ground infantry member, the other person is like, you know, helming the radar.
Yeah.
And like,
I mean, what we're talking about here is basically a second screen experience, right? I mean, this is sort of the promise that the Nintendo Wii U
The game tablet
promised, right? Mm-hmm. And again, we're imagining, this is a call to developers to start working in hidden information into their games, because yet again, this is another opportunity to make really good use of that. Because
that's the most cool examples of the Wii U gamepad, if the players do have significantly different powers.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, what if one person is playing, like, their 3D game, first-person Call of Duty, but the other person is some ephemeral spirit, like Spelunky style, helping them out, right?
Someone is Aiden.
Well, there's just a lot of cool opportunities. Yeah. I mean, Aiden's a perfect example. Because when you're Aiden, you're in first-person perspective, as opposed to playing as Ellen Page, which is a third-person perspective.
You are. With the Sony Morphers, you are Ellen Page. So, how about the... You know, we talked about the gameplay implications and everything, but just how about, like, the social implications of wearing these headsets in your house where supposedly your friends and family are also there?
Well, so I'll make a quick callback to an episode we did a long, long time ago about motion control. And we specifically said that the Kinect and the PlayStation Move are offering us a new form of public play. Like, we are engaging in a public experience. Yeah. Rock Band and Dance Central, those games sort of open up the gaming space, and people can now watch us play. It's an active thing. Our neighbors are seeing us play. And we talked about how this is great. This is a way of sort of legitimizing video games, because now the active play is so out in the open. Do you think that VR, doesn't this do the exact opposite?
I know.
Like, I can't look at other people in the room. They can't necessarily see what I'm seeing. I mean, sure, you know, there are those...
They could watch the monitor. They could,
right. Like there are those... what is that? There's that one Oculus Rift game where you're in the guillotine.
Oh, yeah.
And the guillotine falls and your head falls off or whatever. Yeah. Like, there are weird indie games that sort of create a space for a viewing experience for other people. But when we're talking about, like, AAA games, for the most part, it's just going to be you with this big-ass brick on your face.
That's... And again, I saw, like, you know, video footage of people, or, like, you know, people are tweeting out, and it's like dystopian. Like, there's a room full of people that are all kind of, like, their heads are tilted at odd angles because they're looking at something that you don't know what they're looking at. So, like, you look at one person, they're looking up and to the left. Then you look at the other person, they're kind of looking straight down, and they're like, man, it's just a bunch of people that look like they're in these weird matrix-like pods. Like, kind of like oohing and aahing, but not with each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know, socially it's a very strange, I feel like a dad, like...
Well, how do you think, like, okay, so, I mean, well, two things. One is, this frees up TV space. So, if your partner wants to watch something...
Hey, man, I use the Wii U gamepad for this specific thing all the time.
So, how do you think your wife would react if you're wearing this headset and you're just like, you know, she talks to you and you sort of sway over here and you, like, bump her shoulder with this gigantic brick?
Yeah, it's... Because that's the thing. When Han and I are watching TV, you know, we could be watching something, you know, just casually, right? And each one of us, like, you can say, hey, you know, check this out. And all you really have to do is lean over and look. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, like, you know, okay, now I've unhooked the thing from my face. Like,
I really hope it comes with these sound options.
It's like cupped to my face now. Like, you're physically cut off in a way that you're not physically cut off when you're just poking around at your phone. You know, it's when I was growing up, like, my parents wouldn't buy me and my brother handheld consoles because they didn't want this exact thing. Like, they wanted us to be engaged in the world, or doing, you know, if we were out and about, they wanted us to be present, and video games were a thing that you played kind of like the same way you would watch TV. So, like, this is like the nightmare scenario, you know? Like,
that's true. You know? I mean, you could still speak to them, although I guess if you have headphones on or something.
I mean, yeah, the sensory deprivation is like the capability or the potential for it, because, like, you have over-the-ear headphones. You are holding a controller. You can't see anything but what's in the game. Like, this is like, other than, like, being in a pod, like, this is the most isolating way you could possibly play a game.
It sounds kind of terrifying the way you describe it. Like, if someone touched me while I was in full immersion mode, I would be freaked out.
Yeah, okay, let's paint a picture. Like, okay, you know, it's a lonely Tuesday night. A significant other is out working late or something.
I'm serious now with my Mountain Dew and Doritos.
You've had one or two scotches. You know, it's raining.
Bourbon.
Please, Scott. It's raining. The wind is blowing. That old creaky fence next to your house just keeps on creaking.
Yeah, like, for some ridiculous reason, I'm playing Amnesia.
That was exactly what I was going to say. I was like, well, you know, I'm going to write a post about Amnesia, so I better refamiliarize myself with it. Oh, I'll put it on the Rift.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it doesn't matter if there's lights on in your house, because you can't see them, because it's all covering your eyes.
My heart is already beating faster.
You're like, oh, man, where's my iPod earbuds? I guess I'll have to use my real headphones, so you put them over your ears.
Yep.
All you hear is, like, the Cthulian groaning of amnesia.
Yeah.
And then, you know, someone comes and just taps you on the shoulder.
I would shit myself.
Terrifying, right? Yes, like, yeah. You're completely cut off from the rest of the world.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, like, that is... That's unprecedented, right?
Yeah.
That's like Ready Player One stuff.
That is. That's true. I'm kind of ready for that, though. That also sounds pretty cool. I mean, besides shitting myself.
Yeah.
But above and beyond that, we can also imagine... I mean, you know, these things are already kind of expensive.
Yeah.
But we can imagine a bit more of a cooperative world, right? Where I have mine and you have yours.
Yes.
And we're playing a two-player game. And now instead of looking at... You know, you and I play Halo all the time, for example.
Mm.
I think we might have a different... team play experience and connection if we're both in a virtual reality and I turn to you and I see you manifest as another character in that world.
Yeah.
Right? And I see your movement and maybe we high five in like Portal 2 style, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can imagine an even closer bond between the two people participating in a world in which our forms are manifest.
Yeah. Well, that's like the other version. That's like the other side of Ready Player One where they were like fast friends because they were like they knew each other in this virtual reality.
Yeah.
Like I mean, I guess we always go with, like, the doomsday scenario, but, like, if you did have, like, imagine, like, playing Journey with this, like, it would be stunning.
It would be stunning.
Like, going up the mountain at the end, like, your field of view is full of just, like, the radiant light coming off the mountain.
Tears are fogging up the screen inside of your VR system.
Like, small, like, little, like, wind slash vacuum things to suck away the tears that you're... It's like a spit valve, like a trumpet. You have to empty it out with tears.
It's dripping down the side of your face.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's like the... And like you were saying, the social aspect to actually see the people in the same world that you're in is... I mean, there's a lot of potential there. It's just...
Well, and there's also something to say for inviting someone who's not used to games into that experience.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine, you know, if I'm sitting there with a friend or someone who doesn't normally play VR, and I'm seeing a particularly beautiful vista, to say, like... You know, it's one thing to see it on the digital screen, another to be in that
check
world.
Check this out.
Yeah, and I think that moment of me saying, you've got to see this, is so much more real and so much more potentially emotionally impactful for that person.
Yeah.
If when I put this head chassis
on,
you know, they are a part of that world, right?
Yeah.
Like, there is, I feel like there's an opportunity for awe here that we haven't had that will be even more fruitful for bringing people not into this space, into this space with something that they're not going to be able to experience anywhere else.
Yes.
Because we're not seeing, you know, we're used to seeing computer displays and gorgeous images online. It's part of your work. You use it every day.
Mm-hmm.
VR right now is solely in the realm of video games.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe probably pornography.
Well, also like military stuff. Like but there's like a three basic, like porn, video games, and military.
Right.
Like,
and you know, ideally two of the three, maybe you're not doing with others. The point being
you
is you want to
military.
Share. That's true. You want to share this experience. And, you know, for a lot of people, they're not going to have an opportunity to try out VR outside of something like this.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I think... Okay, so I guess two things. One, is this just another way? Because I also am worried from a game design perspective that it's just going to turn into that, like the visual awe. And it's like, oh, wow, this is really not that compelling a game experience.
Yeah, and to be honest, that's my biggest fear as well. Like, I think that there's a very high chance that for the most part, this is bad for games.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like everybody, like non-gamers' understanding of games,
because
it's already hard to justify,
right?
You know, killing people in Call of Duty,
right?
To say like, oh, I'm all entirely in this, that's even harder to do.
Yeah.
And two, I think it's bad for games because for a good long while we're going to be built up this gimmick thing and not really sort of maximize what is most useful for this.
Yeah.
So
the potential for the gimmick seems like kind of like motion control, but 100x. You know,
that's my fear. But I am of the opinion, someone mentioned this at GDC as well, that the only people who are doubtful about VR just haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was such a naysayer.
Yeah.
I was one of the most people that was out there saying, no, I think it's crap, it's not going to work, it's going to be dumb. And I tried it, and within 5 seconds, it blew my mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think those types of reactions are the things that have changed my mind about it, like, where it's like, even if this is a weird... evolutionary branch off, like not everything is going to be like this. Like, there's still, in the same way that maybe motion control was a weird evolutionary diversion, like there's still some things that are completely worth motion control, you know, its existence. And so, you know, whatever this ends up being is like, it's fine to exist on its own, even if it's not integrated day to day on every single thing.
Yes, that, totally. That we're doing. And again, I think I could see myself wanting to get this for no other reason than to sort of show people who are not into games the possibility space of games. But, I mean, my other concern is that it actually makes things less accessible, not more accessible.
Yeah.
It's going to be more expensive to buy it.
Yep.
We already have this fucked up obsession with new technology.
Yep.
So this is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, I think to truly integrate yourself within the world and not fall into the trap that motion control currently has, you're going to need a controller.
Mm-hmm.
And there are already a lot of people who find movement in 3D worlds with the controller difficult. Yeah. Now they can't even look down at their hands to make sure their fingers are in the right position.
The traditional hardcore game presupposes such a degree of literacy with the controller that you're fluent in it.
Yes.
You know, I don't, like, I'm so fluent in controllers that if you told me to do this combination, I could do it. I might not even be able to tell you, like, which buttons they are. Kind of like how, you know, I have to actually think about a sentence. Like, okay, what is the subject? What is the verb?
Yeah.
What is the, you know, it's like, I have internalized it so much that I don't even think about the mechanics.
Yeah.
But, like, if you can't see the controller, then, like, that's pretty rough.
Like, I played Titanfall today, and I hadn't played it in a while, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I remember the controls.
Right.
But the moment you're in that world again, it all comes back to you.
Yeah.
For someone who doesn't have that familiarity, I cannot... At least it's very difficult for me to imagine a scenario where VR actually helps them become more fluent with game language.
Yeah, unless it is something like, I can imagine that game company doing something where it is still very strong mechanics telling the story, but it's not intricate.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a bunch of buttons to do. So the last thing, I am worried just about the practical nature of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, so when you use the Oculus... Was it heavy? Was it sweaty? Like, was it sweaty?
It wasn't sweaty.
Uh-huh.
I could see, I mean, you know, that was probably a relatively new, not heavily used contraption.
Ugh.
I mean, we're talking like Cheeto dust.
Not a lot of funk on that.
Yeah, like, you know? I could imagine, how do you clean it and wash it?
Oh, geez.
You're going to have to buy extra, like, stuff.
Oh.
I mean, the Project Morpheus, I hear tell, is pretty... pretty nice to wear, but from the looks of it, it looks really front heavy.
Yes, it looks like there might be some neck problems here. And so we started talking about this, like how heavy it is. So we want to do a thought experiment.
No, it's not a thought experiment. This is a scientific test. Listeners.
So they're saying that what is it? The Morpheus is about a pound, a little bit.
Yeah, it's like 0.9.
Oh no, sorry, that was the Oculus, right?
Yes.
It was. Where do we have it? We have our spec sheet
here. We go.
Here we go. So 0.97 pounds.
So almost a full pound without the cable.
Without the cable, and I don't. So what's the cable do? Is that just charging?
I presume. Yeah.
So, but as I said on Twitter. A pound is kind of a lot on your head.
A pound is a lot on... You said your face.
Your face.
Let's be clear here. You said a pound is a lot on your face.
So I grabbed Hanna's kitchen scale.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
And so here's a... I'm turning on... Here, do some good Foley work here.
Yeah.
So I'm turning on the kitchen scale here. Put this on the desk.
So we are... So basically, we are DIY VR right now.
And I have two different hats.
Okay.
I have my... Aperture Science
That's very nice.
Salt, asbestos, curtain.
Nice.
And we're going to see how heavy this hat is.
All right.
Because I wear this hat a fair amount.
Oh, we are at 3 1/8 ounce.
Okay, so that's a hat.
Yep, that's a hat.
Okay, so 3 1/8 ounces, right? So that's, okay. How about this heavier hat? So like this NASA hat that I have
here.
Off-brand NASA hat that Hanna bought me. It's one of my favorite hats.
Even less, that's 2 3/4 ounces.
Okay, so, and then put those together, right? So that's like, five
ounces, almost 6 ounces.
So that's not even half a pound yet. So put those two hats on your head.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Here we go.
You don't have lice, right?
No.
Well, can you
not
just
anymore.
Put, like, how much does a controller weigh?
Okay, let's do this. This is our new podcast where we weigh things.
Okay, a controller weighs 9 ounces. How many ounces are in a pound?
That's a wireless Xbox 360 controller with batteries is a little bit over half a pound.
A little bit over half a pound.
Yeah.
So two controllers would be about a pound.
About a pound,
all right, so I'm going to just put two controllers on my head. And then this hat on top of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that should be roughly the weight of a...
Yeah.
All right. Can you help me out here?
George has one hat on his head and then a controller. And then we're putting another hat on top of that controller to make a sandwich.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
And then we need another controller, though, right?
Yeah, we're going to need both.
We're going to need both. Let's see. This controller. Let's grab this here.
That weighs roughly...
Has a cord.
11 ounces. All right. This is slightly more.
Yeah, so that's more. So we could actually do this... wired controller with both hats.
Okay, let's
and
do
11
that.
Plus 5 is almost a full enough. Pound.
All right, yeah. Here we go.
Okay.
I got two hats on.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa! Reality looks so virtual right now. You know, that's actually not that bad.
Not that bad?
I mean, we're talking like front heavy, so on your face.
Yeah.
But no, that's not that bad.
Okay. Not a lot of neck compression happening here?
I mean, here's the thing though, right? Yeah. Like, everyone who's tried the VR and liked it and felt comfortable have probably only played, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, what is the play time? Like,
here, you try
take a picture of me wearing these hats. We'll put it on the website to verify it. Oh,
yes.
Oh, Jesus, this is heavy. Okay. Wait, I think your head is a lot smaller than my head. Okay.
I highly doubt that.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. I'm just kind of... Okay, so I'm holding that. That's okay. It's still like... I don't know, maybe I have head sensitivity. But I mean, like, there's some weight, right?
There's some weight.
Can you imagine, like...
This is purely not scientific. Yeah, like,
but we have to do something, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, we have to know, like, what... Because, I mean, you know, we play video games for an extended period of time. We're talking about, like, 1 or 2 hours at a time.
Yep,
like,
yep.
There's going to be unintended consequences.
Well, see, what I think we're not understanding and respecting, though, is now you can lie down and do this. Like, you can just lie in bed.
Oh, man.
You know?
I forgot about
that. There's no reason. You know, sometimes I'm trying to play a game and I'm a little sleepy.
It's like, God.
That bourbon's getting to me. I lay down on my left, and now my field of view is, it's all messed up.
Because
I'm looking at it from 90 degrees.
And you, like, tilt your monitor, things crash to the ground. Yeah.
I spill my dew everywhere. My floor sticky again. So, you know, all sorts of problems like that. The maneuverability, I mean, you can even imagine, if there's good battery life, you can go play outside, get a tan.
Oh, man.
While you're rifting it.
An Oculus tan, so your face is like...
perfect square.
It's like suction cup tan lines on your face.
Exactly. Scott, what happened?
I got stuck in amnesia. It was such a glorious sunny day, I had to go play Dark Souls outside.
I fell asleep in that game company's game.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the sort of thing that I'm, like, on a practical level that I'm worried about, because every once in a while I do get motion sickness, and every once in a while I do get kind of the little twinge of repetitive stress injury, and it's like, this is the sort of thing that it's like...
But you can you can get a massage while you're doing this, you could sit in a hot tub.
I don't even have to look at the person giving me a massage.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. And you're not supposed to make eye contact anyway.
Yeah, don't look at me.
One last thing before we go.
Yeah.
We already mentioned Double Fine and that game company.
Yeah.
Who else would you want to see make a virtual reality game?
I want to see, like, I'd want to play, like, The Witness.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan Blow's
game.
That
sounds good. Sony's
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
I think that a Metal Gear game would be super fascinating.
Yeah.
Kojima-san could mess with our minds.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, he did a number on us with a controller and a memory card.
I mean, he's the guy that would really do the... Snake putting on a VR within a VR within
right.
a VR thing.
That's true. Well, maybe that's why Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, is taking so long.
That's true. Is there, out of curiosity, are there accelerometers in these pieces of hardware?
I don't know.
Because it would be cool if you could actually, like, turn upside down to solve puzzles.
I mean, they are...
That could be dangerous.
Well, though. I mean, the new version of the Oculus and Sony's thing have cameras, so clearly they're using that for positional tracking, so I don't see why not. And, like... Suda 51 has done things where, like, you're upside down and fighting, or it's like, I mean, like, for the kind of experimental and, like, more punk like designers out there, like, this is gonna be amazing.
Yeah,
you know,
I want one. That's
yeah,
it.
That's it.
The moment it drops to $200 or less, I'm just gonna buy one.
And by that time, all of the people you'll be able to see all of the. All the rampant neck injuries that have happened.
Yeah,
so you'll
know,
oh, okay, I just need to counterbalance my head with this controller.
Well, I'll just buy one of those, like, airplane pillows. gives you a buffer.
It
should actually come with, like, an Oculus bundle pack.
Here's some salve, here's some Icy Hot you can put on your neck afterwards. Okay. Oh, man. I'm terrified and also very hopeful for this terrifying future.
It's now.
ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address if you want to reach us.
And you can lay on our couch over at experiencepoints.net. pretty soon we'll have these podcasts in full 1080 VR 3D.
Yeah. I'm going to make myself look a lot nicer in 3D. All right, everyone. Until next time. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Ciao.